Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Before we start, let's pray quickly. Lord God, we just come before you right now. We thank you for a beautiful time of worship. We thank you that we can come here tonight, Lord. I just pray that tonight these are not my words, Lord God, but they're your words. Lord, I know that this is a message you want me to share, so we just pray that you open up hearts of everyone here and let me speak the words that you want me to speak. In your name, pray. Amen. Okay, so my goal this year is to read the Bible in a year. And look, in all honesty, it's not the first time I have set that goal. And it's definitely not going to be the last time I've set that goal. But it is the first time that I have got to the middle of the year and actually been about halfway through the Bible. It might not end up being reading the Bible in a year, might be a year in a bit, but we're going to get there, okay? But every time I try to sit down and read it from the start, I'd get to the books of the law and I'd kind of be like, oh, okay, come on. And I just kind of read a bit and be like, oh, come on, I've read this before. Like, oh, God, why do you need to remind the Israelites again that you led them out of Egypt or that you split the Red Sea? Like, they're kind of big miracles, right? You don't really forget when you see a sea just split before you. You don't think you do. But they still needed that reminder. So in Exodus 20, verse 1, when God's giving the Ten Commandments, and all through Leviticus, God seems to constantly refer to himself as, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Or all throughout Deuteronomy, in chapter 7, verse 18, it says, do not be afraid of them. Remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt. And it just kept coming up. All these reminders about what God had done in the Israelites' lives. And so once I got out of the history books, and I got into the Psalms, I was kind of like, oh, well, at least there won't be quite as much repetitiveness about this, right? Wrong. See, God does this funny little thing where if he wants you to notice something, if it's important enough for you to notice in that moment, he's going to keep telling you it. He's going to keep bringing it up in different ways. And funny enough, he kept doing that to me. It's kind of like when you see a mum or a dad with their little one and the little one's like about to do something that they really shouldn't be doing and you just hear them going, no, 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 don't do that, no. You just kind of have to get them to say it a few times just so that they notice it, right? And maybe I'm a bit like one of those little kids. See, Psalm is full of all these little comments and lines about remembering what God has done in your life. And over the last few weeks, as I've been going through and finishing the Psalms, it's like God's got a highlighter and just circled every single time something like this comes up. Turns out the Bible is not that repetitive. I'm just kind of need to be told quite a few times for it just to sink in a bit. So the day after Lauren Dan mentioned speaking tonight, I got up to Psalm 77 and Psalm 78. And it kind of had a bit of a moment being like, oh, okay, God. That's why you've been pointing it out so many times. Psalm 78 talks about the miracles that the Israelites had seen, or the first half does. Goes through all the things that they'd gone through, whether it was like the splitting of the Red Sea, or the manna coming down from heaven. And then the second half goes through the rest of the history, like their rebellions and everything else that happened. But as I was reading through the list of miracles that all these people had witnessed, I remember just writing down one small question in my Bible, and it stuck with me. It just said, what is your psalm of miracles? What is your song, your poem, your testimony? What is your psalm of miracles? And it really stumped me for a while. If you had to write down a psalm of all the things that God had done in your life, your history, whether it's your testimony, whatever you want to call it, what would it look like? Have you done it? So, you guessed it. My title for tonight, if you're taking notes, is A Psalm of Miracles. So, remembrance. What exactly are we remembering? Might be something along the lines of those miracles we keep talking about. As I said before, I got into the Psalms thinking I was out of the repetition of the laws and the history. And God just kept pointing out a few key lines to me, and all of them had to do with remembering God's work in our lives. The psalmist, whether it was David or one of the other ones, just kept telling themselves, reminding other people even, to remember what God had done in their lives. Psalm 77, verses 11 to 12 says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember the miracles of long ago. I will consider your mighty deeds. Psalm 105:5 says, remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, his judgments he's pronounced. Psalm 107:43, let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. That psalm that Linda mentioned before was one I initially had in my notes, but eventually cut out. So Psalm 103, it says, forget not his benefits. Forget not the things that God's done for you. And these are just a couple of them. There are so, so, so many more, but I know we all want to go to dinner, so don't worry, I'm not going to read them all out. It's not that God just wanted to remind the Israelites to remember those big miracles he'd done for us, for them, but I think he wants all of us to be reminded, all of us to be able to realize the importance on reflecting what he's done in our life and actually being able to recognize the moments in which he's been working behind the scenes. God is always working around us. Just because we haven't written any new books to add into the Bible for many years, it doesn't mean that God's story is done. And it certainly doesn't mean that God's not working in our lives every single day. Whether it's the big miracles or even the little ones that seem to go unnoticed. So, what miracles have you seen? It could be a healing, a change of heart, freedom from bondage of a certain sin. It could be a job that came just at the right time, some money that came in right when you think you weren't going to make the next payment of a bill. I want you to think about it. Where have you seen God's hand in your life recently? Could be in your life, could be in a friend's. I don't think anyone here would be able to truthfully say that there is absolutely nothing. We can even see miracles in a time that says that God says no, especially to the things that you really, really want. I've shared this with a few people before, but back in uni, I was set on going to the UK for a semester abroad. I was going to go over there. I had all the documents. I'd contacted the uni. I told every person that I knew that I was going next semester. But I had God just tell me no. Not audibly, but so, so clearly that impression in my mind just would not go away. And any time I went to keep planning or to look into it more, I was so unsettled by it that I knew I just couldn't go. So I didn't. The same thing happened when at the end of my degree, I was planning to go back to London, again, something with the UK, and look into doing graphic props for film. So doing like the old telegrams, the old newspapers and things. It's niche, I know, very cool industry if you ever want to look it up. But I had that same feeling again, the same no, this isn't right. And so much discomfort looking into it. So again, I didn't go. And I'm not saying all this to be like, hey, look at me, I did what God told me to do. I didn't do it very happily. I really wanted to go to these things. And I think the hardest part was that the no didn't come with a reason. It wasn't a, no, 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 you can't go. I'm going to give you this instead. Or, no, you have to be here for this circumstance. It was just no. I can try and guess bits and pieces as to some of the why, but even now, I still don't know why. Both times, the answer was no, with no reason, that I can see, at least. God's given me the miracle of some amazing new friends in that time. Maybe that was it. Maybe it was being here as one of your young adult leaders. I don't know. But I also don't think we need to know or to understand to be able to go, yep, there's a miracle in this. There's a miracle that's going to come out of this. There's a miracle in the no's too, even if we can't see them yet. And I don't know about you, but it can be so hard to see God's hand in moments like that, moments where things are just not going the way that you'd planned. Everything feels like it's gone wrong. And it feels like God is further away from those situations than he actually is. But you see, God's miracles aren't just constrained to the good times. They aren't just constrained to the typical things we see as miracles, like the healing or the redemption. It's not just in the parting of the waters or the bread appearing from heaven. God moves in the everyday life we experience, including the bad times. If you look for it, you'll find it. couple of years ago, for example, I lost my job. One afternoon, we were called into a big meeting room and basically just told, sorry, we're letting you all go. Pack up your stuff. Don't bother coming in tomorrow. Good luck. See ya. And on paper, this should have been my absolute dream job. Now, if any of you know me, you know I love Christmas. Yes, nativity, sign me up, thanks. And this job, half of this job, was creating packaging design for gifts for Christmas. So when you walk into Kmart, Priceline, you see those big displays, they've got the mugs with the hot chocolate in them, or like the tins with all the toffee and stuff. We designed a lot of those. And it was great. We did a bunch of other stuff, so we did like skincare and other gift packaging and things like that. So I should have loved it, right? But not really. Look, honestly, I was not enjoying it. So when I lost my job, I was pretty anxious about what I was going to do next. I kind of had a moment of, I've just spent 4 years at a uni to do this job and I don't like it. What am I going to do? I didn't know if I wanted to keep doing graphic design, if that's what it was going to be like. But I knew I still wanted to do something creative, and I needed something hands-on, or I probably would go insane. So, of course, I was praying, but I just didn't really hear any answers at that point. I applied for internships and placements, looking back into props again. So I applied for the Australian Ballet, doing their props. I applied with a graphic designer who works on TV shows here in Melbourne, so looking back at doing graphic props, but this time in the country. But I didn't hear back from any of them for ages. So I kind of gave up on that, and I was just on Seek and just looking up creative jobs, because what else do you do? Then I came across my current job at a company called MRE, listed as internal creative. Not really a normal name for a graphic design position, is it? Reading through the description, it looked great. The company looked awesome, and I thought, why not? It's an option. So I applied. I got an interview. Do you all remember that big earthquake a couple of years ago? Yeah, that was right in the middle of my Zoom interview. Yeah. Made for a memorable interview, but, you know, that's another story. Anyway, at the time, I'd been applying for another position at a company over in Point Cook. Straight after my interview with MRE, that big earthquake one, I got a call from the Point Cook company offering me the job. I got that feeling again, this is not what I have for you feeling from God. You see, that job would have meant I'd have to pick up everything and move to Point Cook. As excited as I was to have that independence, I would not be here at LNC tonight. I wouldn't know half of you here tonight if I had gone. So I'm sure God will forgive me for this, but I may have stretched the truth a little bit. I told them I'd already been offered another job and accepted it, and I was sorry I couldn't accept their offer. Thankfully, MRE called me that afternoon with the offer for a second interview, this time with the founder of the company, and a face-to-face interview. Not only had I not had a proper interview because of that crazy earthquake, but they hadn't even looked at my design portfolio yet, which at that time I was pretty proud of it. So I got to the second interview, pretty nervous, thinking I was about to meet this big, scary real estate agent boss guy. Fair enough. Turns out the founder of the company is the chillest dude you'll ever meet, loves design, loves photography, grew up on the street behind where I live. All the crazy little coincidences and the tiny little connections that just, there's too many to be random. I can imagine God just having a chuckle up in heaven being like, Em, when are you going to learn just to relax and trust me? Like, you're going to know when you're in the right place. Then as we know, God's timing is perfect. Not only was it one of the easiest interviews I'd ever been in, I heard back pretty quickly that I was going to get the job. But I finally heard back from the props internships after I was offered the job at MRE. And if it had been before, I would have absolutely jumped at the opportunity. And I know God knew that too. There's a miracle in that timing too. This job has been such a blessing to me, not just provision financially, of course, but in the environment there, the way that I can just kind of go, hey, I really like photography. I've got a camera. And they're like, okay, go for it. It's been great. In the environment has been amazing. And as much as I complain about the commute there and back every single day, God has absolutely blessed it with me. And he's brought a miracle out of something as stressful as losing a job and really struggling with what I wanted to do from that point. Ecclesiastes 3:11 is one of my favorite verses. It says, he makes everything beautiful in its time. Does that mean everything is fun and stress-free to go through? No. But it does mean that there are miracles that can come out of those times too, that God works it out for the good. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, those who have been called according to his purpose. As I mentioned before, I was reading Psalm 78 and I had one question in my mind. What is your Psalm of Miracles? You've heard a couple of mine, and now I want you all to take a couple of minutes. We're going to have some discussion time. And in this time, I want you to write down some of the miracles you've seen in your life. Just take 30 seconds, jot down the first things that come to your mind, big or small. The first big things may come quickly, but then think of the small things too, the coincidences that are a little too well planned, or the no's or the bad times that all these miracles God's brought beautiful things out of. We'll play a song and just have a think and write a couple down, then grab 3 or 4 people and share them. Tell each person, go around the circle and each person share one thing that they've written down. Does that make sense? Let's do it. Thanks, Mike. It is amazing to hear you guys all talking. It's incredible. We've got, 80 people here tonight? I don't know. Even if you're all sharing just one thing, that's 80 things of God, big things that God has been doing in your lives fairly recently. Kind of cool, huh? I can just kind of imagine if we took over one of these big walls, Andy, wherever you are, sorry, and we all just grabbed Sharpies and we just wrote down all the things that God's doing in our lives, just have a wall of testimony, a wall of miracles. How amazing would that be? Just walking in on a Sunday and just seeing the miracles that God's been doing in our churches, our community's life, it'd be like a collective, some miracles, right? Anyway, I know as I was preparing this, there were things that came to my mind so quickly, but then other things that, really big things, big healings that I had honestly forgotten. It took a long time for them actually to come to my mind. And I know that there's probably a whole list of things that I've forgotten about, things that I just won't remember, I just haven't recognized as miracles. We can be so quick to forget all the miracles God's done in our lives, especially when we get stressed or too busy to sit down and have a think for a while. But why is it so important to remember all the things of the past? Why did God put such an emphasis on recognizing the miracles? Well, it shifts our focus. Gratitude and mindfulness can be such huge buzzwords in the mental health realm at the moment. But God obviously knew the benefits of it way before our psychologists caught on. That verse we mentioned before in Psalm 77, the verses 11 and 12, this comes just after the author is distressed. He is writing about all these horrible circumstances he's going through, and his mind, he's in agony. But in that moment, he turns his attention from what's around him to remember what God's done for him. One commentary I read said this. It says, no longer is he writing from a place of distance and despair, but a place of hope and remembrance. By recalling what God has done for us and for others, faith is restored, joy is uncovered, and our hearts turn from despair to praise. And it's encouraging, right? When you hear stories of how God is moving in people's lives, it strengthens our faith and encourages us by getting us to really humbly recognize how God has blessed us and blessed the people around us and praise him for it. Which leads me to the next part of this. It's not enough for us just to remember. There's one other part of the Psalms that God just kept pointing out to me, and it can be a scary one. We've got to tell people about this. Psalm 107:2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Psalm 105, verses 1-2, says, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell all of his wonderful acts. and there are so many more that say similar things. It's annoying when God can be so clear about a command that can be so scary, right? He says to tell all, to tell everyone. Back in Joshua 4, it talks about memorial stones. When we think about the miracle of the waters splitting, we usually think of the Red Sea, right? But at this point, God split the Jordan River so that the Israelites can walk through. And God wanted them to have something to remember it by. God had Joshua command 12 men appointed by the tribes of Israel to take up a stone right from the middle of the Jordan, right in the middle of that miracle. And in verse 6, it says, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Lord. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. And then in Psalm 78, verses 4, says, we will not hide them from our descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and his wonders that he has done. Then down in verse 7, it says, then they will put their trust in God. They will not forget his deeds, and they would keep his commands. If it was important for the Israelites to pass down their stories of what God's done in their lives, not only to their kids, but to the communities around them, why don't we? Why don't we document it, tell our kids, tell our friends, tell our community everything that God's doing in our life too? Why don't we create memorial stones? Physical things in our life that people can see and ask about. Or even if it's just physical things that serve as a reminder to ourselves about what God has done and a reminder for us to tell people about them. If you need a pile of rocks to remember what God's done for you, do it. Build that pile. If you need to create something physical to remind yourself to tell people about what God's done, do it. I have a challenge for you. If I were to ask one of your friends to tell me about the times that God has moved in your life, could they? What would they say? Are you sharing these moments and the miracles that you experience with them, not just with your family or with your best friend, but with all your friends, with your life group, with the people you work with, the people you go to uni with? We should have the kind of excitement and awe of these miracles that God's doing in our life that we just can't help but spill them out in our conversations. Imagine the reach we could have, the encouragement our stories and our testimonies could have on the people that we tell them to. And who knows how many people they pass it on to. There's so much power in declaring God's works to others around us, not just edifying their faith, but edifying our own faith too. Imagine if each time your life group got together, you didn't just share your praise points, you shared your miracles that week too. Think about the miracles that you've discussed with the people around you. Think about the list that you've got in front of you. How much does it leave you in awe of what God can do when you see and you hear these things? Let's lift each other up and encourage each other's faith by sharing how God's working in our lives. And though our miracles aren't recorded in a big book of history like the Israelites have been, it doesn't mean that they're not still happening now. How many people saw the burning bush? One, right? Moses. One man, one God. How do we know about it? He recorded it and he told people about it. We wouldn't know about it at all. We wouldn't know about any of the miracles that the Israelites saw. We wouldn't have known about the Red Sea parting or the Jordan River parting unless they wrote it down and told people. It's to telling people that's important as well, not just remembering. So as we finish up, I want to give you some homework. I know, not a teacher, still giving homework. Get out the list of miracles you've started and keep adding to it this week. When it's tough, when you need a reminder and some encouragement, go back to your list and tell yourself your psalm of miracles. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still working. He's still creating all these miracles that we have seen and that we've read about. And he's not changing. He's not going to stop making these miracles anytime soon. But also remember, these are just the miracles we know about. I said before that I've probably forgotten a whole list. I know I have. And there's probably a whole lot that I never have recognized, but they're still miracles. God is an incredible behind-the-scenes worker, doing all the little things you just don't know about. How many have we missed? Miracles are everywhere around us. You just need to look for them. And finally, tell people about them. Tell them how God has moved in your life. Tell them so much. If you've got kids, tell them so much that when they're sitting here as young adults, they can give a full account of all the miracles that you have seen in your life. For you young adults who haven't got kids yet, like me, tell your friends, tell your family, tell your community, your life group, so that when I asked them that question that we said before, to tell me all the times that God's moved in your life, they could. They could list it off with just as much joy and thanksgiving as that you've got. We all have a psalm of miracles waiting to be written. So let's start writing them. Thanks. Whoa.